And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
I believe that Satan himself went into the body and soul of that 20-year-old, drove to the school, and massacred those kindergartners. That doesn't exonerate the person for their of their responsibility, but this to me it's the only way you can explain this, because if you had someone who was angry at their mother and they were out of control and they got a gun, you could see how, and they were someone given maybe to rage. You could see how something like this domestic act where he murdered his mama could happen.
Domestic violence, terrible as it is, does happen.
Maybe
every day.
A moment of rage.
It happens in America every day.
We have some framework for that.
Framework.
So, now, here's what I mean by it's satanic, is when you go from there to getting the guns, getting into your car, driving to what you know is an elementary school, breaking in, and start murdering innocent kindergartners. You knew what you were. You knew where you were going. Mm-hmm. You knew what you were doing.
No, he didn't. You just said he was possessed by Satan. Now, either satanic possession is satanic possession, or the guy is just gone with guns. Because you see, what this is a desperate attempt, a groping, pathetic attempt to explain something to people who tune into American Family Radio really meaning to, without pointing to root causations. So let's back up. Apparently Satan has a driver's license, because we can understand him blowing his mama away. Well, let's go back.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours?
And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligence Aboriginal Radio.
All Indus, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. White man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginal.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginals.
And I'll tell you one other thing. Wayne LaPierre and Chris Cox have been telling America that if Barack Obama was reelected in the November elections, they were going to be coming after our guns full tilt. And a lot of people didn't believe them. But the predictions have panned out. It's here now. We're in for a massive fight like we've probably never seen before. And I hope people understand that they gotta get up on their hind legs and fight, or we're gonna lose it again. Well, we've tried to tell people that in order to control the masses, they have to take your guns. Oh, we saw it in Cuba. I mean, we have so many Cuban Americans who understand. But there's just too many people who don't believe it can happen here. And I hope they're right. But in order to keep it from happening here, it's going to be a massive, expensive, and long fight. It's going to be a big fight, Jenny.
And they even admit this is about banning the ugliest guns. It's about cosmetics, and it has nothing to do about how a firearm works.
Well, you know, banning people and things because of the way they look went out a long time ago, but here they are again. Yep. The color of a gun, the way it looks, it's just bad politics.
You are listening to the Angry and Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Salutan and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, the Angry Indian, editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the Fourth World from aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. Thanks to tuning in to Indigenous News, thought and analyses concerning the issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, neo-classist, neo-colonialist, neo-liberal, neo-fascist, and neo-misogynist control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along. I wish peace to the gods and earths and love and solidarity to the entire original family at this time of strife and struggle. This is our first show for 2013, according to the Gregorian calendar. And, I know it's been a minute. There was nothing that we could do about it around here. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. This is Intelligent Talk Radio for the people of the Fourth World and those who are concerned about our issues. which doesn't mean that we don't give a damn about you. It's just that, you know, we would, you know, it would behoove us all if you gave a damn about us, at least for a minute. At least for a minute. You know, it would be nice, it would be fair, you know, it would level out the playing field, you know, all that good stuff that we talk about, you dig? Okay, so, there's two particular subjects that we're going to get into, because, you know, I was laid up for a little while, so, you know, I was forced to, you know, to watch television, which is something that I don't do at home. Ms. Angry Indian and I do not watch television. You know, we listen to the radio. You know, radio news, yes. Television, no. It's just not part of what we do at home. And so, you know, where I was, you know, I didn't have any choice. And you know, this is what was there. And, you know, it was Fox News, which is always interesting. Always... disorientating, you know, it is what it is. But it was the entertainment media that really got me, because, you know, as I'm laying there, as I'm sitting there, as I'm being propped up, what have you, you know, there wasn't one popular film, and since things don't really go to the cinemas anymore, they go straight to video, straight from the studio in you know, Canada, or, you know, Romania, what have you. You know, wherever they make these $5 films. You know, there wasn't one thing that didn't involve guns, that didn't involve violence, that didn't involve stealing, that didn't involve intelligence work, right? That didn't involve, you know, cloak and dagger type or what have you. Everybody's wearing black. They're all stylish. There are people held in isolation. I mean, there's a lot of torture. I don't know if you realize that. There's a lot of torture. And see, and everything that I'm talking about relates to I Don't Know More. It doesn't seem like it, but it does. You dig? Because I'm laying there, sitting there, what have you. And I'm noticing that, you know, everybody else in this area is, I couldn't tell if they were excited by watching this sort of thing, or they were just used to it because there was really nothing else there. And that's one of the other things I want to bring up, is that there really wasn't a whole lot of choice. You either had sports, or you had news, which was limited to Fox News, at least where I was. You know, maybe MSNBC every now and again, which, you know, for the most part, might as well be Fox News. And, you know, this supposed... popular programming, you know, I mean, even the reality shows, which we all know have not a goddamn thing to do with reality. You know, anyone knows anything at all about film production, you know, to the slightest, you know, and the outtakes from, you know, from films when you see it, you know, in the production stage. And, you know, obviously you have to have certain camera angles set up. And, you know, they show them going in, they show them coming in. How is that reality? And, you know, the people are supposed to be surprised that they just bumped into so-and-so. And, you know, it's just ridiculously fake. But anyhow, this is what passes for reality. And for those of you who have read or watched Fahrenheit 451, you dig where I'm going with this. You know, we're just in a mass of delusions. You know, and as I'm noticing with all of this, because, you know, believe it or not, I have nothing. You know, iPod, what have you. I don't have access to these things. So, you know, I had to deal with what media was available to me, right? And it took a while before I was able to get a radio. And even then, you know, it took a while before I got headphones to even dig with the radio. But, you know, and even then I was limited. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, every time I opened my eyes and looked at the screen, it was, you know, some form of violence against somebody, you know, against either people of color, against women, you know, it was just, you know, something, you know, it was all off the hook. And if it wasn't that, it was war pornography. You dig what I'm saying? You know, even there was this, a couple of people who wanted to watch this weight loss reality show. And there was a cooking show even that a couple of people watched that, you know, I mean, somehow they managed to work the military into all of this. And you started hearing about Semper Fi and what have you. You know, and it was really scary to me. And I really didn't have anybody to talk to because, you know, these people were grunting and, you know, pumping their fists and what have you about these things and talking about, you know, how good these films were. And you know, it's just really disconcerting. So, you know, why am I bringing this up? I notice what you're thinking, brother and sister. You know, why is he bringing this up, right? Why? Okay, well, here's why, brother and sister. Because we're getting so used to inhumanity that we're really not paying attention to the fact that it's, you know, vomiting all around us. You know, and you know, we just had another shooting, and you know, and I'm going to repeat what I said the last time. You know, well, what happened at the Sikh temple with that crazy white supremacist who was working in the propaganda and psychological warfare department for the military here? You know, we looked at that and we said, yeah, okay, well, you know, guns are not a problem. And we're still centering on guns. And I'm not saying that guns aren't a problem. Guns are a goddamn problem because they only have one purpose. They only have one purpose. And, you know, I mean, I know absolutely nothing about hunting. So anybody who belongs to the NRA or the supporter, I'm going to tell you from the jump. I don't know a goddamn thing about hunting, dig. You know, I don't. Don't claim to. But common sense would tell me that, you know, it doesn't make much sense to take an AK-47 with you if you're going to go hunt deer. I don't see the point in that. And I don't know what the hell you would need a Magnum or whatever the hell you call these things. I mean, I've spoken to Vietnam vets about this, and you know, they're not happy. They said there's absolutely no reason for what the hell they're seeing out here in terms of what's being sold to the general public, unless you want this, you know, kind of mayhem. You know, in other words, only the military should have that sort of thing. There's no excuse for private citizens who are not engaged in warfare. I'm not talking about police activity, because that's a whole other Megillah, right? I'm talking about warfare. Because this whole thing about Department of Defense and what have you, they need to call it the War Department like they used to back in the 40s before Truman changed it. See, I'm a conservative on that. You know, go back to that. Call it the War Department, because none of this has a goddamn thing to do with defense. But see, what I'm trying to get to is, brothers and sisters, I'm sitting here and I'm, you know, watching this, where we're just looking at violence as entertainment, and then we have military paraphernalia popped around as, you know, pornography, you know, because there's a sexual component to it too. And if you don't believe that, look at the websites that are dedicated to the women of the Israeli Defense Forces. You know, there's a whole, you know, population plan program going on with the Israelis that nobody wants to talk about. You know, I mean, it's just too easy to talk about the Nazi, you know, the mirroring of that sort of, you know, racism, of that sort of xenophobia. I mean, there was just a study done. I just read this in the Times of Israel, where more than 52 or 51% of the Israeli population wants absolutely nothing to do with people who are mentally ill. Does that sound familiar, brother and sister? Does that sound familiar, brother and sister? Does that sound like the only democracy in the Middle East, brother and sister? I'm sorry, you know, I don't think you need to be Jewish to say this, but, you know, what the hell is that when Jews can say something like that, can have these sorts of attitudes, and not be ashamed of it, and to want Africans out of their country, and to want the indigenous Arabs who have been there for generations to move, even though they just came out of, I don't know, pick a Jewish community in the United States. There aren't that many that really have these, you know, really arrogant Zionist, you know, I don't know what else to call them. You know, they're not nice. They don't listen to reason. I mean, politeness is totally out of their realm of understanding. You know, they don't know how to have a conversation. And I'm not talking about agree to disagree, because I think that's nonsense too. You know, wrong is wrong. But I mean, to the point where they can't even explain what the hell it is that they're arguing for. They just tell you that they have to believe you, you know, like, or else. You know, I mean, the only other people I've had, you know, crawls like that with, when I was trying to ask them a legitimate question, were, of course, you know, neo-Nazis, who don't understand reason, have no common sense, don't think, know nothing about their own history. I mean, as Europeans, as Europeans in the Americas, and I'm not talking about the United States, I'm talking about the Americas. You know, this whole thing about America being limited to the United States, it's bollocks. I mean, how else do you want to put it? You know, it is a delusion of the master race to believe that all of this is centered up here. You know, Canada doesn't count, Mexico doesn't count, all of this is North America. You know, the entire, you know, connecting, you know, land area, even though it was split, right, to make Panama, you know, all of the southern, you know, part of this is just, you know, non-existent. Really. You know, this is nonsense. You know this is nonsense. I know this is nonsense. So, you know, why do we even go in circles about anything like this? You know, I mean, we just watched Alex Jones here. He said it. You know, because we got audio. I mean, he said it. Guns and whiskey built America. He said this while he was trying to, you know, I don't know, stand down Piers Morgan. I don't know what the hell. What the hell was that about? You know, deport Piers Morgan. I mean, I'm not a particular fan of Piers Morgan, but, you know, deport him and deport him over this. He's just like, you know, what the hell is this? What the hell is this? You know, I don't want to bring up Waco, but, you know, it's like, what the hell is this? You know, there's a lot of good people in Texas, you know, but what the hell is this? You know, I mean, whether it's Jones or the Texas Freedmen, you know, what the hell is going on, man? What is this? Oh, Texas. Did you hear about the two women? You know, I don't know. I mean, I assume they have medical marijuana information up there. I don't know. I don't read that much. But I did take a look at them not too long ago because I saw a link, tokatown.com. There were two women who were given a body cavity search, an aunt and a niece, a body cavity search on the freeway. It turns out that it was a cigarette butt that this woman threw out of the vehicle as she was driving. But, you know, this particular officer insisted that it had to have been something else, and they couldn't find anything in the car, so they decided to, you know, do a body cavity search. Now, it was a female officer that did the search, but if you look at the snapshots that were taken from the webcam, she gave them a body cavity search on the freeway in full view of anybody that was driving by. And for those of you like myself who do, you know, health advocacy out there in terms of trying to tell people or trying to remind people on how to be careful while they're out there doing their thing, the officer in question, according to the complaint by the two women, used the exact same latex glove on both females. So do I need to explain to you what, you know, the potential risk in that? And how much are you paying in taxes to have these people trained not to do these things? I mean, from top to bottom, the entire thing was wrong. And then in the UK, you have a man, I believe was in his late 50s, wasn't quite 60 yet, who blind, sight impaired, who was tasered by the police because they thought that the pointer he was using was a sword. And then there's the case of the pregnant woman who was in some sort of difficulty, but because she had a couple of pills on her, who, with, I suppose, were, what, illegal pills or some sort of medication she wasn't supposed to have. I don't remember the details. I don't have it in front of me, and it doesn't matter. They took her to the joint anyway, and guess what, ladies and gentlemen? She passed away. That was like another woman who passed away on camera. She kept going. She went back to a hospital after they sent her home. This was a black woman. After they sent her home, because they said, there's nothing wrong with you. They gave her some whatever, and they sent her out, and she came back and said, look, I don't feel well, and I'm not leaving until somebody sees me because I don't feel well. Well, they took her to the joint because they said she was trespassing. Well, it was on film, and you can find it on camera. She died on camera. She died in the goddamn holding cell. There's another video of a woman who dies in the waiting room of a hospital. They asked me to come by and kick her body after she fell off the chair. I'm talking about the security guard or whoever the hell it was and a nurse before they realized that she had expired on the floor of the hospital. And this was on film. So what's the point of all these goddamn cameras then if it can't stop this sort of goddamn abuse? Am I going on a tangent? You're goddamn right. Because the more you talk about this, it branches out. Because it's never ending. You know, when I finally got back to my news desk and was able to, you know, check my RSS feeds, I tried to keep up. I tried to catch up. And I started realizing, you know, my God, here it is, the Occupy people. They're nonviolent. They're peaceful. Matter of fact, the administration even admits that they're not a threat to anybody, that they're nonviolent. But it turns out that they're investigating them as if they were anyway. In the meantime, you have somebody like JT Reddy, white supremacist, neo-Nazi, and admitted neo-Nazi. Well, he just, you know, wipes out his entire family and like a punk takes out himself and, you know, well, no problem. That, you know, then like I said, you had the Sikh temple, you know, same thing. You had this, you know, white supremacist. It turns out that the military knew he was a white supremacist. The entire time he was in service, they knew he was a white supremacist. They gave him advanced training anyway in psychological warfare. This is what he did. This is what the mainstream news reported. And then he went berserk. So what did they do? Who did they blame? Who did they blame? You know, I mean, they very rarely even blamed him. They blamed the multi-culti. You know, the people who want to say, you know, like, you know, I'm here. You know, see me. You know, multiculturalism. They blamed that. They didn't blame Glenn Beck. They didn't blame, Bill O'Reilly. They didn't blame Sean Hannity. They didn't blame Neil Bortz. You know, they didn't blame anybody who is actually out here pushing this nonsense. They didn't blame any of these folks, you know, for you know, stirring up this climate of hatred here. You know, none of them. But they certainly, you know, can come down on Occupy and not tell them that the capitalist, class here has put their well-being at risk. You know, there's no discussion about that. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about how indicative this is of class war. You know, for real. And that the neo-Nazis out here, that the Tea Party, who are the neo-Nazis? They are the Neo-Confederate Party. Let's just call them what they are. You know, and I'm applying Michelle Bachmann. I'm applying, Palin, because her and her husband have attended neo-secessionist groups in the South. Vogel, whatever the hell his first name is, the Alaskan nutcase who wanted to separate Alaska from the United States because they didn't believe in God and white people. You know, we didn't hear any of this. The media didn't discuss it because who owns the media? And the media is working for whom? And who's working? You know, I mean, ownership, the term is content. Noam Chomsky said this. Why do I need to explain this? You understand this. And they, well, when I say they, I'm talking about those who run things. You know, the 10% understand all of this. The 85s I hit don't know what the hell is going on and never will. You dig? They just won't. You know, they can't. You know, it is beyond their ken to understand what the hell is going on. You know, they just can't dig it because they are so saturated with meat jelly, with whiskey and marijuana, right? And Cristal. And, you know, whatever crap that they're picking up, you know, Brass Monkey. Do they still make that? You know, whatever it is that you do. See, I'm not trying to knock you, but I'm trying to say, you know, at some point, you know, come through the haze. You know, come through the haze. You know, we have indigenous people up here in Canada that are fighting for their very existence. And we got Indians right next door talking about, well, we're doing just fine. See, you know, well, which Indians are saying this? Which Indians are saying this? You know, we've heard a lot of heat come down on Teresa Spence, you know, the chief that's leading this, who's on a hunger strike. You know, there's a lot of, and there's some prisoners that are on a hunger strike with her as well, up in Canada. You know, you see, we have to understand what the hell is happening here. You know, some of us understand what the hell is going on. Some of us don't. See, and that's a real problem. You know, the what was it, GQ, whatever it is, got the cover of Beyonce. She just gets blonder and lighter every time I see her. And now she's going to be at another presidential inauguration. She was at Bush's two nonsensical inaugurations, where nobody voted for him, where black people were cheated out of their vote. In how many different states? And here's Beyonce and JC stumping again. For power. This is what the hell I'm talking about. This is how Idle No More goes to what happened in Connecticut, because nobody gives a damn when black children, when Ayanna Jones was set fire to and shot in Chicago, and her grandmother was falsely accused of the deed. Did President Obama cry? Did he cry for that little black girl? Did he cry for the child of Oscar Grant? Did he cry for the child of Derek Williams, who suffocated in the back of a squad car? That these children had to grow up without their father? How about Derek Jones? Did he cry for that man's children? How many black children are dying from gunfire every day in the United States? Is he crying about that? Is he saying anything about that? Or is he telling you to take off your bedroom slippers and stop being lazy? But does he say that to the Zionist lobby? Does he tell that to the political homosexual lobby, who I separate from the gay lobby? Because if you don't meet the requirements of the homosexual mainstream lobby, if you're not one of the Stepford fags, then, you know, you don't really count, right? If you're trying to live as a gay person in the Mexican community, or as a gay person in the Filipino community, or as a gay person in the African community, as a gay person in the Native community, as a two-spirit person, because I make a difference in the Native community of North America. Does he cry for these people? When they come home bloody, does he cry for these people? Does he think about them like that, like the three transgender women and two gay men that had their vehicle shot into by some drunk off-duty police officer not too long ago, who I believe was given probation? Did he cry for them? He didn't talk about them. Did he talk about C.C. McDonald? Did he cry for C.C. McDonald, who was defending herself against a neo-Nazi? A homophobic neo-Nazi. She defended herself against an assault. Did he cry for her? Did he mention her? Did he talk about her? No, you leave it to the radical people of the gay movement, not the homosexual movement, but the gay movement. See, that's why I've always had a problem with queer, and maybe it's just because of my age. You know, but, you know, queer to me has always been synonymous with nigger. It's always been synonymous with spick. It's always been synonymous with chink. It's always been synonymous with redneck. You dig what I'm saying? It's wrong. But, you know, there was this argument that went down in the 80s and early 90s that, well, you know, black men call themselves nigger. And it's to deaden the word. And, you know, if we call ourselves queer, we'll get the same effect. No, it hasn't. You're still dealing with the same problems, don't you? You're still dealing with the same issues. I mean, I love Lenny Bruce, and that was his belief. But, you know, he was wrong. Because it didn't work. You know, and it might have worked at that time, but not now. Not now. See, now, they don't have to call you nigger. You call yourself nigger. You call yourself nigger. And no other ethnic group in the world does this. Except gay people who have talked themselves into calling themselves queer. And then asking, why are we being treated this way? Why are we dealing with this? I've never known a Jew to call himself a kike. And I know of no self-aware Chicano, Mexicano, Puerto Ricano, Dominican Republic, none who call themselves spick. But Indian, you like redskin and you buy the jackets, right? You buy the hats. You wear them proudly. Black man, you call yourself a nigger. You identify yourself as a nigger. I don't understand you. And my gay brothers and sisters, regardless of what your skin color is and where you come from, you are who you are. And calling yourself a queer is not going to negate anything because you're playing by their rules, their semantic rules. Understand the paradigm. Understand the paradigm. The paradigm says that when a group of children are harmed in a gated community, in a well-to-do community in Connecticut, we will bleed. We will get upset. We will tear up and we will do something about it. But when it happens to, say, like stop and frisk, well, hey, I don't see that. I don't see how that leads to the disenfranchisement of an entire race of people. I don't see that. I don't want to see that. Because I recognize only one thing. I recognize people who look like myself. I recognize those who belong to what I believe is my class. And we need to be honest about that. Because as Malcolm X said, when we can be honest about that, when a white man could be honest about what he thinks, and we could be honest about our responses, see, then we can actually move someplace. But in the meantime, trying to pacify them by trying to always augment our language, augment our thinking, and our thought processes to deal with theirs, we're always going to be at a losing position. We're always going to be in a losing position because that's what works for them. And if you look at these people, they're insane. I mean, you look at John Nash, who worked at the Rand Corporation. Those of you who are old enough and remember Vietnam know what I'm talking about. He was a nutcase. Other people who, you know, actually, you know, set policy. Frank Wiesner was a nutcase. I'm not saying this out of disrespect, but they have mental problems. Edward Bernays, who set the propaganda, was a crotchety, if you listen to his daughter, he was an angry, crotchety little man who didn't like anybody because he basically didn't like himself. These are the people who run the world. People like Ronald Reagan, who ran the world through astrology and numerology. Don't believe me? Look it up. And how many of these, you know, nutcases who run the stuff anyway believe in all kinds of things? You know, I mean, just believing in religion already, talking snakes, magic apples, and what have you, you're insane. Berlusconi is a Freemason, is he not? And here he's running right back into politics. So, you know, here you have real life making these conspiracies look real. This is why Alex Jones can have a following, because, you know, the excesses of these maniacs who run things, because they have no sense of like, okay, here's enough for me, I gotta leave something for the little people, you know. I mean, that's bad enough in and of itself, but you know, this idea of all for me, and you know, as Adam Smith said, the vile maxim of mankind, all for some and just about nothing for everybody else, is allowing Silvio Berlusconi, who already owns all of the media in Italy, to buy his way back into politics. Because it was corrupt from the get-go. And it's the same thing here. For all of you people who told me you were going to hold this current administration, you know, to account and what have you, well, I'm still waiting to see that. You know, as I watch John Brennan and Jack Lew and all of these, you know, Bush, you know, hangovers, as they, you know, come back into the fold, yeah. See, I have no time for suckers, you know, Holocaust deniers, and fools. You know, I just don't. I just don't. You know, because life is just too goddamn short, dude. I just don't. So, you know, my pal Bob Kincaid, we got some audio. Because, yeah, I you know, if it came for me, you know, and let's just be honest. I mean, you know, if in straight up language, if it came for me, oh, these niggas just complaining about the NRA because they just don't like the idea of white people and you know, and they don't like guns. So, no, now we're going to hear from Bob Kincaid. Scott Tyrus, totally proud of it, out of West Virginia. I'm going to let him explain to you the ridiculousness. The total, you know, doltishness of everything that is going on right now in terms of white fear about the entire world coming down. When, you know, everything that they're complaining about is basically their fault. You know, if you're worried about a bunch of, you know, ignorant, stupid, you know, brown people and black folks taking over after everything is collapsed, after the white man can't do anything anymore. Well, I mean, well, whose fault is that? You didn't want to educate anybody. You didn't want to let us learn how to read, right? We had to fight to go to church. We had to fight to go to school. So it's like, you know, what the hell? If things turn out really bad, whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? You know, you set the world the way you want. You know, you do the imperialism and what have you. And then when these people come to where their money is, you're fine as long as they're cleaning your toilet. The moment they start asking you, you know, if they can marry your daughter, then it's a problem. The moment they want to sit next to you in the opera theater, it's a problem. You know, Sam Yagampas, I mean, somebody I respect in terms of labor history in the United States. You know, I mean, I respect him, but he didn't like the Chinese and he didn't like black folks either. You dig? Jack London, socialist. Jack London, bigoted son of a bitch. Gandhi, respect his moves. When it comes to African people, black people, bigoted son of a bitch. Hinduism itself is racist as hell, you know? So it's like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, we have to start looking at this. You know, racism isn't just black and white. You know, racism is white versus whatever the hell. And how do we define white? Well, if you look at the Rwanda genocide, the Tutsi and Hutu, there was an idea of whiteness between them. Look what the hell the Chinese are doing in Tibet. That's not whiteness. Indonesia and East Timor, that's not whiteness. The Dominican Republic and how it deals with Haiti, that's not a concept of whiteness? What it shouldn't even be? So, yeah. Yeah. See, this is why Hugo Chavez and Dr. Fidel Castro Ruiz, you know, that's why they were dangerous. Because they talked about the African and the Indian telling the European, either live with us or fuck off. And that's pretty much where I'm at, you know. I have no problem, you know, dealing with people. I live with anybody, you know. I'm not a bigot, and I'm not a racist, and that's not, you know, those are two different things. I'm not a nationalist, but I'm not going to stand by and just let you rape me and dehumanize me, and you know, no. You know, if you have a problem with that, then you know. Tell it to the God that you believe in, because you're not selling that here. You know, try that with somebody else. You know, and there's enough of us
who obviously don't agree with this. But, you know, you would never notice if you speak to the chiefs. You would never notice if you speak to the community leaders. You would never know this if you speak to the responsible people who supposedly represent us. You would never know that we just don't give a damn about you. You know, we just don't. The majority of us don't. The only people who seem to care about what you think are those who you feed. You know, you're hanged by the Fort Indians who you hand feed, the Vichy Indians, however you want to put it. You know, we got them in the African community. They're in the Filipino community. They're in the Mexican community, Puerto Ricano. You dig what I'm saying? You feel where I'm coming from? You know, you think down in Gullah country, we don't have people who totally are thinking about themselves? How do you think the land gets sold off? You understand? How do you think that works? There has to be somebody from the inside that's helping those on the outside. Because if we were strong inside, it couldn't go down. A lot of you have put a price on yourselves, you know, and that's a part of this capitalist system. You know that and I know that. But, you know, it's time to move forward. Idle No More is doing that. I'm proud to see it happen. And the Aboriginal News Group riches them much power. And this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Please stay tuned.
Therefore, we are not talking about politics tonight. We're not talking about economics tonight. We are talking about the survival of a race of people. That is all that is at stake. We are talking about the survival of black people. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. And you must understand that. Now, why is it necessary for us to talk about the survival of our people? Many of us feel, many of our generation feel, that they're getting ready to commit genocide against us. Now, many people say that's a horrible thing to say about anybody. But if it is a horrible thing to say, then we should do as Brother Malcolm says, we should examine history. The birth of this nation was conceived in the genocide of the red man. Genocide of the red man. Of the red man. In order for this country to come about, the honky had to completely exterminate the red man, and he did it! And he did it! He did it! And he did it where he does not even feel sorry, but he romanticizes it by putting it on television with cowboy and Indians. Cowboy and Indians. Then the question we must ask ourselves is, if he's capable of doing it to the red man, can he also do it to us? Let us examine history some more. People say it is a horrible thing to say that white people would really think about committing genocide against black people. Let us check our history out. It is a fact that we built this country, nobody else. I'll explain that to you. When this country started economically, it was an agricultural country. The cash crop on the world market was cotton. We picked the cotton. We picked the cotton. We did. So it is we who built this country. It is we who have fought in the wars of this country. This country is becoming more and more technological, so that the need for black people is fastly disappearing. When the need for black people disappears, so will we. And he will consciously wipe us out. He will consciously wipe us out. Let us check World War II. He will not do it unto his own. Notice who he dropped an atomic bomb on. Some helpless yellow people in Hiroshima. Some helpless yellow people in Hiroshima. In Hiroshima. If you do not think he's capable of committing genocide against us, check out what he's doing to our brothers in Vietnam. Check out what he's doing in Vietnam. We have to understand that we're talking about our survival and nothing else. Whether or not this beautiful race of people is going to survive on the earth. That's what we're talking about. Nothing else. Nothing else.
This is Radio Anguindian. Anguindian Radio for the Fourth World.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that prevents pregnancy. It is not an abortion pill and does not cause an abortion, only the prevention of pregnancy. If you have had unprotected sex or have been raped and need Plan B, contact your local Indian health service. You have a legal right to receive Plan B over the counter, meaning without a prescription or a doctor's appointment if you are 17 or older. Plan B must be taken within 72 hours of sexual intercourse to be effective. For more information, call 605-487-7072. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Every day, one more Aboriginal person will test positive for HIV. Some will be rejected by their family, friends, and community. They will live in isolation, their voices no longer heard. HIV/AIDS stigma and discrimination denies our people the right to protect their future. You can make a difference. Be their voice.
Este es Radio Insurgente, voz del Ejército Zapatista de Liberación Nacional, transmitiendo desde las montañas del sureste mexicano.
This is Howard Zinn. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced false news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured, targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
दोपहर को कहाँ गई थी?
दोपहर को बाजार गई थी।
पता क्यों नहीं जा सकती थी?
अरे अभी इसने क्या बताना?
पड़ोसियों से पता चलता है मुझे।
पता चले तो क्या हुआ?
चुप। ये घर मैं चलाता हूँ। मुझसे पूछे बगैर कोई काम नहीं होगा इस घर में। चल चला समझ।
घरेलू हिंसा में बाधा डालकर उसे रोको। बेल बजाओ। घरेलू हिंसा अधिनियम पर जानकारी के लिए bellbajao.org पर लॉग ऑन करें। ब्रेकथ्रू की पहल।
Hi, this is Annie from Ovwasamone. You're listening to a Creative Commons licensed podcast.
HIV संक्रमितहरूलाई माया, ममता र समाजमा सम्मानित जीवन जिउने वातावरण निर्माण गरौं।
यो उनीहरूको अपेक्षा होइन, अधिकार हो।
रोगलाई तिरस्कार र बहिष्कार गरौं, रोगीलाई होइन। एचआईभी अरूलाई मात्र होइन, तपाईँलाई पनि लाग्न सक्छ।
सकारात्मक सोच, स्वस्थ समाज अनि सही निर्णय नै सरल तथा सफल जीवन हो।
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास।
Nothing British is a campaign against racism and extremism. Add your voice by signing our petition at www.nothingbritish.com.
DD is for everybody, not just for the few. Anyone can share DD with someone nice as you. DD is for everybody, darling, have no doubt that anyone can get DD. That's what it's all about.
If you're curious or confused, get information or a pamphlet at most pharmacies or a health clinic. If you need help, see a doctor.
Now that America has a black president, is this proof that racism is a thing of the past?
Well, I think white men were 100% of the people that wrote the Constitution, 100% of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, 100% of the people who died at Gettysburg and Vicksburg, probably close to 100% of the people who died at Normandy. This has been a country built basically by white folks in this country who were 90% of the entire nation. I think they ought to defend the legitimate rights of white working class folks who are the victims of discrimination.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Media. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service. aboriginalpress.blogspot.com.
This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Head on RadioNetwork.com, an internet-based conversation radio experiment into its eighth year now. Available most easily at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a Listen Live button. Just jump right on it, and there you are. Or if you're on a mobile device, it's also easy to find us at TuneIn Radio. A nice app for your mobile smartphone, or Tuner Internet Radio, or Dar.fm, or Stitcher Radio, Streama.com. We are rather ubiquitous. I mean, if we got more every night, we'd be paying salaries, right?
Cases where guns were banned, gun crime continues, and it often increases. And that's the bottom line. And that's what Wayne and Chris and you for years have been saying.
Well, we've tried to tell people that in order to control the masses, they have to take your guns. Hey, we saw it in Cuba.
Really? You were there, Marion Hammer? You saw it in Cuba? You rode in with Che and Fidel in the Barbudos? Out of the mountains? Cigar clutched in your teethuses? In your tooth? You, Marion Hammer, NRA past president? Yeah. Hmm. Okie dokie. Wouldn't that make her like 100? That's what I thought.
I mean, we have so many Cuban Americans who understand. But there's just too many people who don't believe it can happen here.
What is it? What is it? At some point, we're going to have to sort out this business of what can happen here. Cubans are going to come and divest us of all of our shooting guns?
Okay, now having heard Marion Hammer, da-na-na-na, we have to do it that way. Texas Betsy says, yeah, she could be Texan. Or Martian. I'm just saying. We haven't even gotten to the good part yet. The part that's going to make you just sort of go, ha! And shriek a little bit and rend at your garments and run as though you were becoming a wild beast. Probably on your hind legs. No, haven't gotten there yet. It can happen here, though. It. That thing. Yeah, I mean, it already had. I mean, they tried to take our, they took away our assault weapons for a few years, and my goodness gracious, think of the elementary schools that could have been shot up in that period of time by law-abiding gun owners.
They're right. But in order to keep it from happening here, it's going to be a massive, expensive, and long fight.
It sure is. And we'll see what happens as things move along, because Feinstein says she's going to move pretty quickly on this. So as you said, it's all going to unfold pretty quickly.
Yep, and the bill that she passed in 95 pales by comparison.
Absolutely.
To what she's trying to do now.
Yep.
She is...
But wait, the NRA has already said the 1995 law was no good because it wasn't effective. It had loopholes in it. I've seen the talking points. I've read them. I've been reading words for a while now. And I still maintain we will not get the law that we need. With a complete ban of semi-automatic long guns, and the magazines, and a buyback, and the outright criminalization of the possession thereof. We're not going to get that. But apparently, that doesn't matter to Marion Hammer, past president of the NRA. No, that would be a very tasteless joke to make, and I won't. Just occurred to me. I'm going to take a pass on it, because I'm better than that. No, it doesn't. But again, like I said, we still haven't gotten to the good part.
She is invigorated by the tragedy. She believes that America will swing with her, and... it's going to be a big fight.
She's invigorated and hopes America will swing with her? Well, I thought I was better than making a really tawdry joke, but apparently Marion Hammer isn't. You know how it is with those liberals. They're swingers. I guess Marion thinks that Dianne Feinstein, who is not exactly someone I would call a liberal in the first place, wants to have a menage America?
All right, Jenny.
And they even admit this is about...
Here it comes, by the way. Let's get the complete cachet of it all. Okay?
It's gonna be a big fight, Jenny.
And they even admit this is about banning the ugliest guns. It's about cosmetics, and it has nothing to do about how a firearm works.
Well,
please. Sit down. Strap in. A little tennis ball, a little duct tape, just to cut down on the screaming if you really feel like you need it. It's about cosmetics. It's about banning the ugliest guns, remember?
This is about banning the ugliest guns. It's about cosmetics, and it has nothing to do about how a firearm works.
Well, you know, banning people and things because of the way they look went out a long time ago. But here they are again.
Yeah.
The color of a gun, the way it looks. It's just bad politics.
You got that? Banning people and things because of the way they look went out a long time ago. The color of a gun, the way it looks, it's just bad politics. That woman just said people of color are ugly. She really did. Because she was responding to a question that said they want to ban the ugliest guns, and she responded by saying banning people and things because of the way they look went out a long time ago. The color of a gun, the way it looks, you got that? There was a reason I told you to strap in. See, these little closet bigots and these little closet racists, they try real hard in polite company not to let on that they are. But, well, you know, when you say mattress, they have to put their foot in a bucket and sing. This is just another day in the tone-deaf, culturally bereft National Rifle Association.
Head on RadioNetwork.com.
This is Commander B, and you're locked on to www.BantuRadio.com, locally and internationally, www.BantuRadio.com. BantuRadio.com, the voice of the voiceless.
Voices Indigenous Radio brings to you the basics of how not to violate the law and presents the people who are fighting the war against Mother Earth. We bring the awareness of a different paradigm to the airwaves of WBAI as we shed the same old systematic paradigm that is killing Mother Earth. And you can hear the perspective of Indigenous peoples throughout the world and how they live with the law, land, air, and water. First Voices Indigenous Radio is produced in the studios of WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming and archived on WBAI.org and FirstVoicesIndigenousRadio.org.
I'm going to stand until I can't stand no more, if I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of Color Organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movement, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POC Organize and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganize. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
Why does the U.S. Constitution guarantee a right to keep and bear arms? Why not the right to vote? Why not the right to a quality education, to health care, to a clean environment, or to a job? What was so important in early America about the rights of citizens to have guns? And is it even possible to have an honest discussion about gun control without acknowledging the racist origins of the Second Amendment? The dominant trend among legal scholars and on this current Supreme Court is that we are bound by the original intent of the Constitution's authors. Here's what the Second Amendment to the Constitution says. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Clearly, The authors of that passage aim to guarantee the right to a gun for every free white man in their new country. What's no longer evident 230 years later is why. The answer, advanced by historian Edmund Morgan in his classic work American Slavery, American Freedom, The Ordeal of Colonial Virginia, sheds useful light upon the historic and current politics and self-image of our nation. Colonial America and the early U.S. was a very unequal place. All the good, cleared, level agricultural land with easy access to transport was owned by a very few, very wealthy white men. Many poor whites were brought over as indentured servants, but having completed their periods of forced labor, allowing them to hang around the towns and cities landless and unemployed was dangerous to the social order. So they were given guns and credit, and sent inland to make their own fortunes by encroaching upon the orchards, the farms, and the hunting grounds of Native Americans, who had little or no access to firearms. The law, of course, did not penalize white men who robbed, raped, or killed Indians. At regular intervals, colonial governors and local U.S. officials would muster the free armed white men as militia and dispatch them in murderous punitive raids to make the frontier safer for settlers and land speculators. Slavery remained legal in New England, New York, and the Mid-Atlantic region until well into the 1800s, and the movements of free blacks and Indians were severely restricted for decades afterwards. So, colonial and early American militia also prowled the roads and highways, demanding the passes of all non-whites, to ensure that the enslaved or free blacks were not escaping or aiding those who were, and that free blacks and Indians were not plotting rebellion or traveling for unapproved reasons. Historically, then, the principal activities of the Founding Fathers' well-regulated militia were Indian killing, land stealing, slave patrolling, and the enforcement of domestic apartheid, all of these, as the constitutional language declares, being, quote, necessary to the security of a free state, unquote. A free state whose fundamental building blocks were the genocide of Native Americans and the enslavement of Africans. The constitutional sanction of universally armed white men against blacks and Indians is at the origin of what has come to be known as America's gun culture, and it neatly explains why that culture remains most deeply rooted in white, rural, and small-town America long after the end of slavery and the close of the frontier. With the genocide of Native Americans accomplished and slavery gone, America's gun culture wrapped itself in new clothing, in self-justifying mythology that construes the Second Amendment as arming the citizenry as the final bulwark of freedom against tyranny, invasion, or crime. Embracing this fake history of the Second Amendment warps legal scholarship and public debate in clouds of willful ignorance, encouraging us to believe that this is a nation found on just and egalitarian principles, rather than one built with stolen labor upon stolen land. Maybe that's how we can tell that we are so finally over all that nasty genocide and racism stuff, we've chosen to simply write it out of our history. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Bruce Dixon. Find us on the web at www.blackagendareport.com.
This is DJ Fusion of the Fusebox Radio Broadcast at blackradiosback.com. You're now listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, another slice of real black radio for the masses. All right, peace.